Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the NRL Bulldogs Fans Podcast.
Welcome back to the NRL Bulldogs Fans Podcast. Season is officially over, but Prestermania season has just kicked in. It's gone to another level, Scotty.
Well, you said at the start of the year that I could play a handful of great games, and you've got a few trophies at the end of, by the end of the year. So what a season. The Prestermania, we're not off early on the social medias, but it's, you know, wasn't wrong. What a year for the young man.
Let's jump right into the awards night, shall we?
Yeah.
So obviously the Bulldogs held their awards night this week. In the list, there's a list of winners here, but Jacob Preston, the big winner of the night, he won the Dr. George Proponis Medal for the 2023 NRL Player of the Year.
Yep.
He won the Steve Mortimer Medal for the Bulldogs 2023 Rookie of the Year, and he won the 2023 Members Player of the Year. To do that in your first season, absolutely incredible.
Well, was anyone competing with him? Rookie of the Year? Probably not. Blake Wilson started probably too late to give that a real shake-up. Player of the Year? Again, probably not. Members agreed.
That's right. We'll just run through the other awards of the night. Club Person of the Year went to Melanie Rico. The Community Service Award went to Billy Arvid Kickout. He obviously had a lot of time on his hands to wrap that one up, unfortunately. The New South Wales Cup Player of the Year, Jaden Tanner. The Jersey Flag Player of the Year, Lachlan Vale. The Ron Massey Cup Player of the Year, Josh Collardi. The Employee of the Year, Caitlin Glanville. Harold Matt's Player of the Year, Mitchell Woods. That's a name that we've mentioned quite a lot on the podcast this year. The SG Ball Player of the Year was AJ Jones. Tasha Gale Cup Player of the Year, Tali Dennis. And the Harvey Norman Women's Premiership Player of the Year, Holly Wheeler. So congratulations to all on that night. But
Coaches Player of the Year, Jacob Kurath.
Yep, I skipped over that one. Yeah. There you go. You've got that. Call that one straight away. 2023. Well, that's a good point to end on, I suppose. If anyone was going to, we'll go to our own Player of the Year award soon. But Jacob Carras probably up there as well.
Yeah, but you look at effort, and I think you know him actually breaking his back and playing with it. How can you not win the Coaches Award with that? But if you looked at effort and meters, especially at the start of the season before the injury, he was turning up meters. He was one of the, he's probably one of the actual better wingers, well, wingers in the comp this year. So he did his job, and you know, coaches look at effort players, and they love their players who put their body on the line. And Jacob Gerrans was definitely one of them in 2023. Or he's always been like that since but he's continued that on for this season.
He's always been like that for the 1 year that he's played in the NRL. You saw him play before.
Yeah, he's always put his body, like, I think, you know, he might be the first to admit not the most talented winger in the competition or the fastest winger.
Mm.
But when it comes to heart and when it comes to a bulldog, I think he's one of the biggest hearts in there. And when you look at that, and for a winger to win a coach's award, goes to, I think, or winger slash centre. It goes to show the importance on the outside backs. And I think at the start of the year, he was leading at the Daly M's at one stage, so he would have been leading that Dr. George Proponis medal. Unfortunately, the injury got in the way, and Prestermania also got in the way.
Possibly. Okay, let's do things a little bit different, Scotty. Before we talk about the game, let's just throw out our points straight away and see who we end up with as the 2023 Player of the Year. So we've only got one round of points to add into the system. We've both gone... We can talk about player performance later, but we've both gone Josh Adokar with 2 points.
Yes.
So that's given him 5 points in the final round. Is that enough to jump the leaderboard and possibly take home the podcast Player of the Year?
Or maybe known as the Tolmans.
Corey Waddell, I went with 1 point. He was already in the top five.
Oh.
Is that enough for him to take home the podcast of the year award? And you've gone Max King, who was leading the competition, well, this competition,
for a very long time. Polled early well.
Absolutely. So now that those numbers have been put into the list, let's resort that and see what we've got. Now, coming in 5th spot, Corey Waddell on 12 points.
I think it's been a great year for Corey. If you listen to the podcast, Corey, well played this season.
Got a lot of love on the podcast this season from us, and well deserved. In fourth place, well, let's call it tied third, Max King and Josh Adakar on 14.
Oh, so the Fox left the run too late. And Maxi King, he slipped. Come off to a great start in the sprint. He went for a sprint on the marathon, I reckon.
And then in second place is Jake Averillo off to the Dolphins on 15 points. But no surprise, in first place on 16 points, so it's quite close, it's Jacob Preston. So, yeah, big night for him the other night. But I'm sure even bigger honours here on the podcast.
I think they're waiting for it. I think the players are waiting to see who got the top goal and the Aiden Tolman, I guess, the Tolman Awards. I think they're all winner of that award. So I reckon they'll be listening to the podcast. And when Max King heard the slip, I reckon he's filthy. Adam Carr's got up, left the run too late, and the injuries might have gotten his way to give it a real shake up. Averillo, I thought what a departing gift that would be if he could pole the point. But he also got injured.
How good though. Members, Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year,
yeah.
Podcast of the Year, and Player of the Year at the club. Undoubtedly, the Bulldogs' best player of 2023. I think that's all you could say, right?
Yeah, I think, well, once they win our Podcast Player of the Year, it's almost certain. But when he wins everything else, so I think he'd be more excited about it.
Just for anyone that's listening, we're recording this on Friday. So obviously the Player of the Year awards did happen earlier in the week. However, we did put our... You'll have to trust us. We did put our numbers in at the end of the game and before the award night, so there's no tomfoolery happening there. On the weekend, Scotty, the Bulldogs went down yet again, unfortunately, on the Gold Coast in front of 14,942 people, 34 points to 30. I don't know. It was a... Didn't really feel like we had a chance while sitting down and watching it. I was surprised that... the scores finished that close, to be honest.
Yeah, and one of those things. We lost, you know, lost by four. Suggest if you haven't watched the game, it was a close, exciting game. There was exciting moments from us. The Hayes Brown run, Josh Adakar, the Fox doing
Fox swings. That Hayes Perham, he finally had his fullback moment, eh?
Yeah,
we've been. After the preseason, I should say, and after watching the All-Stars game earlier in the year, we saw that potential. We're talking about that potential, and we're waiting to see that potential. It just never came. Well, it has. Round 27.
Yeah.
It's come out. He got on the outside there, made a huge break, moved very quickly, but at the same time looking very stable, and then got a good kick back on the inside. Josh Adakar, not the best bounce.
No.
Takes it in scores.
I feel like it goes to show how much Hayes is an athlete, though. How it looked like it wasn't putting that, it wasn't 100% running, and yet he was making ground quite quickly and moving across the field quite quickly. Yes, that was the moment we've been waiting for, the moment that we know he had in him.
Too little, too late, probably, going into the preseason.
Last game. Is it enough for him to stay next year, though?
Yeah, as
an outside back. For the Bulldogs and maybe some depth in that fullback position. Yes, there's a person called Blake Taff and Stephen Crichton coming in, but you never know with injuries and origin and stuff like that. Hayes might be a very wanted player. But yes, the potential that we were waiting to see, Portiatelli comes too late.
With the other players joining next year, he's probably not going to be the fullback, right?
No,
that's what I mean, a little bit too late there. I reckon he'll make a pretty good centre.
Yeah, I reckon that's his spot. What about, as for a Titans fan, what was Timo? Was it Timo at the end? What was he thinking? A flick ball that straight to Blake Wilson picks up the crumb and swoops in. Like,
well, that made the scores look a bit closer.
Yeah, that's why I was going to try to use that moment. And I know, I mean, if this was a Bulls podcast, it was the other way around. I mean, what do you think, even though we got the win?
Yeah.
But... to suggest that 34-30...
It was just an end-of-season game. They couldn't lose.
Yeah.
A couple of seconds left to the season. He just went for something silly.
I think that's one of those moments. They got Desi Haslam coaching there next year.
Yeah.
As one of those moments, if that happens next
year... I don't think Tino does that if the Titans have got a chance to make the finals or anything like that.
I still reckon you'd see Desi. If Desi was coaching then, he would spray Tino at full time with that, because it's... you don't do that type of stuff.
Sorry, I thought you said you would spray Taylor full time. Spray Taylor full time.
Well, you might have to do a spray tan. He's on the Gold Coast. He needs to look like a Gold Coast person. It was one of those moments that, you know, if you looked at the scores at 34-30, you could say, oh, these two teams went at each other. Defence was not a strong thing. And then you could have said, oh, the Titans just got away with it, but it wasn't really. That was the point of trying to make the try at the end, make this game look a lot.
Curtis Moran got a good try, and it's always good to see him do well.
And I think he's played so well. I mean, excluding the post-try handling error after the try, but part of that, one stage he did 6 runs for 69 metres.
We also lost out to another try. Matty Burnham dropped the ball about a centimetre off the ground.
Yes,
we had that the
yes.
week before with Reed and now Burnham, both captains doing it. Fantastic.
Yeah. It was mentioned as well, Casey Badger debuted as in a referee. Yeah. Moment before the game started, a cheeky little smile that she did at the camera as a thing. And it was a smile that, she made it. So,
good on her.
Congratulations to her. I know we've think, but what a moment. When I saw that moment, I was like, heartwarming moment. And I actually thought
she didn't have any issues.
That was gonna say. I thought she did a really good referee.
Better on the field than the puck.
Maybe she got too much time. You know, some people when they kick field goals, and they just thrive when someone chases at them because they don't have to think. It's just drop kick. And when someone's got when they've got all the time in the world, they start to think about the drop and then the kick and how much force. Mm. Maybe Casey Badger is one of those type of people. Field goal specialist when you've got that split second.
And even though it wasn't our game, Belinda Sharp did really well as well.
I was gonna mention the Tigers Manly game on Friday. Night, the 6 o'clock game. So well done to them both. When I saw Casey with that smile, and I think I've been one guilty of the bag here in the podcast and maybe on social media on certain calls in the bunker and stuff, but I was like, oh, that's so good. Like, the moment of her, that's her NRL, jersey presentation moment, really.
You would have hoped, though, going into this game that with all the backs to the wall news stories about training this and punishments, that the defence of the Bulldogs would have been...
better?
Yeah.
24 points again against us.
In the last game where two teams come out the finals, like 34-30, not that bad. But... given the week, going into that game, I was saying to people around me, look, I don't really care about the result almost. I don't care about even them playing as a team. I just want them to go out there and show the desperation as individuals. Mm. And you'd hope that defensively they would have shown a bit more resolve. Also, I think the only other thing, we can't be too hard. Like we said, it's end of season game. It doesn't count for too much. The scores would have been, I believe, 24-all if Burnham didn't drop the ball over the line.
Yeah.
And that could be very different. And I feel like moments like that this year has really hurt us in some close games.
And me that launched it?
I'm not sure, but I think it was, it would have been 24-22 if it kicked to Calm.
Right next to the post.
Yeah, and... yeah.
And he's been nailing.
I remember, that's when I realised, it's a bit odd, but that's when I realised, how the heck are we at 24-all? And then the try got taken off us, unfortunately. I don't know, we need to spend too much more time on the game unless you want to dive into stats or anything like that.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I didn't feel like a really good winner at any moment. And when we were a little bit behind, we had that bit of a comeback. We had those individual moments, which was good, but... yeah, it was a classic end of the season. Two teams can't make finals, no chance. Playing on a dry track, really.
Yeah.
To score points. So playing on a beautiful...
it's always a good track up there.
Yeah, I don't know what the weather was, but it looked good. It looked like it was nice and warm up there. It was on the goalie, so it looked like a nice day.
And interesting that you said it was a good crowd for the occasion. It was a good crowd.
14,000 is outstanding.
For two teams that can't make finals. Yeah, that's right. NRL this year. Biggest crowds ever, and the biggest round of this year was round 27. Incredible. That's you think that some teams can't make finals, and then a lot of teams couldn't make the finals, and crowds would drop off.
Isn't it funny how some teams can't make finals against each other?
Yeah.
So there's no one pulling, their weight, if that makes sense. How many fans in the Bulldogs live in the southeast? But we know when Bulldogs, West Broncos, those years gone by when they were the two top feet, and there was people saying they're there could be about 40% Bulldogs fans at Suncorp, which is unreal. So, you know, Bulldogs versus Titans, an hour down the road, if you don't get to watch your footy fix too much and you're a South East Queensland Bulldogs fan, you go into the Bulldogs, Titans, Bulldogs, Broncos when you can, right?
Yeah.
No finals. You might go, you know what, I'll watch it from home. You know, instead of...
Quite a bit of blue and white in the crowd too, it's good to see.
No, yeah, but it was, but I just imagine if we were making finals, we had a chance to make finals, that crowd could have been like 18,000.
Well, a week before, or 2 weeks before, the Warriors played the Titans there, and it felt like a Warriors game.
A big support in the Goldie and Brisbane for the Warriors.
As well. All right, let's bring it back to the Bulldogs. Some good news, Scotty. Jersey flag. Bulldogs too strong for the Sharks in the Jersey flag qualifying final, week one of the finals, winning the game 44-22. It was 24-0 after the first 23 minutes from the Bulldogs. We did talk up, I guess, the players that are in the Jersey flag side for this week, for last week, that had New South Wales Cup experience or higher. And it looks like Joash Papali'i really stood up. He also had a good day with the boot, kicking all of his shots.
The goal kicking fullback,
Bulldogs,
the way he plays, it's exciting talent there.
Bulldogs forward Timothy Johansson, first half double, front rower.
That's awesome. He sounds like a novelist.
So that's a great result for the Bulldogs there. We're through to the preliminary final this week in the Jersey flag. Now, it's a top five system, guys, so it is a bit different, but in the top five system, we finished in second, played third, won that game, so we go to the preliminary final, which is happening this week. There's another game happening this week as well. That's a knockout. So in our preliminary final, the winner will go through to the grand final. We're playing the Roosters at 3 o'clock at Leichhardt Oval on Saturday.
Yep.
The winner of that will go straight to the grand final and have week three off. The loser of that will play the winner of the other game, the elimination game, with a second chance of making the finals, making the grand final, I should say. So, teamless time for the Bulldogs. Again, Joash Papali'i at fullback, Jordy Mazzone on the wing with William Alaafo, Daniel Gabriel, Eli Clark. In the centres, Eli's played a lot of New South Wales Cup, like we said before. The halves, Carl Olaapo and Joseph O'Neill. I think before we hit recording, you said that could be a New South Wales Cup halves pairing next year, and most likely will be. Forwards, Jack Todd, Ruben Moyle, Lepai Hopai, Harry Hayes, who's played Cup this year, Luke Smith as well.
Hopai as well.
Yeah, and Damien Marshall at lock. The bench is Jonah Glover, Timothy Johansson. Double.
He just sounds like he's going to write a novel, that guy.
Yeah. Farmai Tulo and Lujan Vito. So, big game this week, 3 o'clock, Leichhardt Oval. It's on New South Wales Rugby League TV. We'll get out to the game. Huge chance to get a second trophy for the Bulldogs for the season after the Harrods match.
Yeah. Nervous for it, actually.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely.
It's good to know that we've got that safety net, if it doesn't...
We'll get another bite at the cherry.
Yeah, that's right. You never want that, though. You don't want another bite. You want to go straight through, have that week off, put the ice on the injuries.
That's the good thing about the top five system. You get guaranteed two bites, no matter if you win or lose that first week. Your second bite may come later. So the top eight, you lose the first week, it's fine, but you win the first week, go to week three, you lose your out.
Yeah.
Where in this one,
you
can take your second bite in week one with a loss, or you can win and take your second bite in week two if you lose. If you come first, you get only one second bite, but you have the opportunity of only playing one final, going straight to a grand final. Interesting. Anyway, maybe perhaps fairer. I don't know. Mad Monday, Scotty. It was put aside this week. And the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs spent the day in Ashfield, to support the Rev Bill Cruz Foundation in feeding the homeless. So it was fantastic to see. After a disappointing season, the players got getting together and doing that as a group straight away.
It's not the first time they've done that. A couple of years ago, they did a very similar handling up. The thing is that, what happened to the players who were actually departing the club, who put themselves out there wearing their blue skin? It sounded a bit, being professional and stuff. Like a couple of years ago, Jack Cogger was out there when he was confirmed departing and then straight out there doing charity. But you had someone like Kyle Flanagan
front
and centre.
Their likes to act as a bulldog.
Yeah, and it's easier said than done. And a couple of years ago, I saw the pictures, but Luke Goodwin mentioned a couple of years ago saying when they did their charity, it was actually up to the players, the individual, to make that call if they wanted to be a part of it. So it'd be interesting to see how it came across this year, and see if players had that option to say, would you want to come or not? But it's always good. You know, it's very much easier to go, I'm departing, what's the point? But, you know, helping out the community and spreading the love.
Yeah, fantastic to see. Well done. Lots of good photos on the website, on the Bulldogs website, if you want to go have a look at that. Kyle Flanagan and a couple other players departing involved in that as well. Speaking about departing players, Scotty, let's go through the players that have confirmed they will be departing.
Yeah, so, Jay Knockenball, departing, going Hull FC. For a couple of seasons over there. Kyle Flanagan, we just mentioned, off to the Dragons to join Dan. So
no surprise that one would be to say that that's going to happen for months.
Yeah, so you got the Clearys, we did have the Arthurs, now we've got the Flanagans. So Kyle Flanagan, good luck to him. Might have found a hooker position. It'd be interesting to see what he's going over the Dragons. Do we know the length of deal? I haven't seen the length of deal anywhere.
Not sure.
Even when I read the statement from the Dragons, looking at the actual, usually it looks like for the next 2 years or whatever it is. But
maybe some more details to come out later. But as you said, he's quite excited to meet the coaching staff.
Yeah.
And head coach Shane Flanagan said that he believes that he's seen Kyle play a little bit and he's doing all right. Kyle's had his up and downs throughout his career, obviously. But I think he's always shown a lot of heart. I've enjoyed watching him play ever since he was playing Toyota Cup for the Sharkies, coming through the Sharks and at the Roosters and at the Bulldogs. He's definitely got something in him, so I hope, wish him all the best and hope he really makes a career out of the Dragons.
I was speaking of a Bulldogs fan, and they said, my thing with the New Zealand Cup was, I think the downward spiral was when Josh Reynolds retired midway through the year and then New Brown leaving a week or two after, thinking, geez, those two people played the same, almost the same positions, or cover the same positions, left at the same time. There's a lot of experience out of those two. One's a Samoan rep international, the other one's Josh Reynolds. Like, say no more for both of them. But someone said, you know what, wasn't either of those two what ruined the Bulldogs New South Cup season? It was Kyle Flanagan being promoted as the top grade. What put a spanner in the works of New South Cup, because he was that dominant at hooker in New South Cup. That was when they started to find their groove, but then he was that good. He got bench game for the NRL for the rest of the season, and they struggled without Kyle. So that's an interesting point to say that he was the massive loss. The other two boys were big losses, but Flano, if he stayed down, they said they had no doubt in the world that they'd be in the finals this week. So,
interesting take. Hard to argue.
Continue. Jack Avrillo, one of the hardest ones, I guess.
Yeah, on
the
that list. One hurts.
going off to the Dolphins.
Yeah. I don't think no one's happy about that. Good news. That you told me about actually just a moment ago, not an ACL, so lucky for the Dolphins, and good news for Jake.
Man, I've put down Braden Burns next.
Yeah.
I want to chuck a question mark on Braden. Rumour speculation, he was the player who left training, despite that he was the player who left training with that training saga.
Yeah.
Despite photos of him being at training all those weeks after. But he put on his Instagram story when they were talking about the week of the Titans, and his name was still being tossed up as one of the players who wasn't happy. He said, "I still got 1 week to go at the club."
Yeah.
So really, between the lines, I think that's a departure.
It was proved that it wasn't him anyway. So.
Yeah, I know that was him squashing the rumours down.
Yeah.
But Braden Burns, Franklin Pelle. I think we've known for a little while that he was off to Hull, but Hull has put it official. I don't know if they're just making the announcement late or if the deal was actually finally signed.
Yep. You just
never know. Sometimes the clubs hold off on announcements. Sometimes they just verbally agree it's just going to happen. But it was only announced not too long ago. I think it was about 24 hours ago.
Sometimes you got to wait for the governing body to stamp it.
Yes,
and allow it to go through.
There's about four or five different steps, I guess, depending on the player as well. So it could have just been a marketing thing from Hull the whole time, as little as that. Then we got Raymond Fatale and Mariner. He's not necessarily departing. He's still contracted for next season. However, I probably confirmed that he's allowed to look at other options. Which is the club captain, so I think that means he loses club captaincy if he does stay. Because it'd be, how do you keep that
What a fall from grace, eh? Club captain at the start of the year, told he could leave. It's been interesting too, in regards to those rumours about that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And they were told that that wasn't the case.
And now it's the case again.
Look, we all love RFM's passion, but that's the way it is, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's that list of players. We've got another list of players. Gus Gould the other day. I don't know what he said it on. He said it somewhere.
At the awards, though.
That we were going to sign 8 or 9 players this week or something like that.
Was it the podcast? I don't know. He's everywhere. He's everywhere, that guy. He went to Brisbane and Gold Coast, then New Zealand, and one day he's doing.
That's why I said I don't know where he's come. But since he said that, we've got some names. So today, as of today, the Daily Telegraph has reported Bulldogs are in talks with Roosters hooker Jack Turpin. So let's stop on each player and give an idea. Love it. Tell you why. Reed Marnie is not an 80-minute hooker. To have a backup hooker that's a specialised hooker, you come in and play anywhere between 15 and 25 minutes. Reed can stay on as a forward for a little bit of that too if you want to play that way. I think that is that's a good signing if that comes through. Just in regards to we can't rely solely on Reed to play 80 minutes every week.
Yep.
I don't think he's that type of player yet.
No, I don't think he is that player.
And if Reed cuts his minutes per game back to 55 or 60, those things that I was saying the other week, when I was saying he's almost a great player, if he finished that move off we'd be saying he's an origin player.
He's
a rep player. Missed tackle, too many penalties.
Well, his percentage of missed tackles, I should say. Obviously, his missed tackles should drop because he's not on the field long enough, but...
Yes, yeah. Dropping the ball centimetre off the ground, like, almost kicking a 40-20, but the ball curves away. Like, that sort of stuff, right? I'd imagine would all of a sudden be... Those would be close opportunities converted into full opportunities if he's playing less game time, I feel. And you could build him up from there, I reckon. So you agree with that?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I'm a massive Jake Turpin fan. I've always actually liked him when I saw him come through the Bronx. Always thought he was a classy hooker. I actually think... I heard that the 2 years deal was thrown at him for security. I hope it is, because I would feel like if he does play that 15 or 20 minute role in Canterbury, he might be pinched the year after. Because I think he's a good player.
Yeah.
But also... I think it puts a very, very healthy competition, because I think Jake's very quick at he moves the ball quite quickly. And a Roosters fan has actually described it as filthy. They reckon he should be playing more hooker at the Roosters.
There you go. We won't touch on that because it's another conversation for another day. Another player, Knights utility Kurt Mann, who could possibly play a bit of hooker as well. He's been linked to us for a little while now. Apparently, he's even done a medical with the club. So that seems like that one's going to come through. Thoughts on that one?
Like Kurt Mann as a player, I think he's a wholehearted player.
Yeah.
Positive. Does he play top grade now if Jake Turpin's there?
Does he play centre? Does he play second row? Does he play lock?
Is he playing halfback?
he can play in a lot of positions. Is he the 14? Yeah, but then you lose Turpin.
Are we going for New South Cup? Dynasty.
One team played with two hookers on the bench last week. I think it was the Titans, actually.
So
I don't know. Like Kurt Mann's play, I think his best years were back at Melbourne.
I like him in Newcastle. I think he's very wholehearted. He is.
He's had some head knock problems and
stuff. Yeah, he's definitely he's the villain.
He thinks he's 120 kilos.
Yeah,
6'6".
When he was playing at Melbourne, he looked a little flashy and stuff. Now he just kind of looks like Yeah. But if his injury's got in the way and he's just changed the way he's played, or if he's always like that in the way the Knights have kind of shifted him in the middle, that's been able to...
I don't mind him as a player, but how does he fit in the Bulldogs? I think that's a real hard question for us to answer right now without knowing which who the other players may be leaving and what players we're getting in as well. So, another utility, kinda. I struggle to call him a utility, but he has provided utility value at the Roosters, Drew Hutchinson.
Yeah. I was thinking of this one today, actually, with Drew. Is he coming to halfback? Played some couple of good games, really good games at halfback this year for the Roosters.
I would like him at lock. He's a big body.
He is huge.
He's proved that he can defend well in the NRL. He's a big body. He could do some damage with running with that body. And then he's obviously got the ball skills of a half. And you play him in the middle, Isaiah Yeo style, and you have your two halves on either side. I'm not saying they have to stay on their side, but that's your default setup. I think that could be really beneficial if the forward pack goes forward.
But is he going into number seven? We don't have a...
Yeah, I'd be surprised, hey. I'd be very surprised if that was the case.
Or is he going to play left centre or something? Because he's done a bit of that. He hasn't looked too bad at centre.
You know what? I just thought of that lock idea right now, and I actually really like it.
Yeah, like, that's an interesting one. Like, if you've got Kurt Mann, do you need Drew Hutchinson? Then if you have Jake Turpin, do you need Kurt Mann?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, so it's kind of like a domino effect.
Somebody said during the week that we just buy every utility in the game.
Yeah,
somebody was you.
Yeah, I did, yeah. If you're
going
to watch out, you're ending up at Belmore.
I love utility. No, I'm probably going to pronounce this name wrong here, but Passar Farmasili?
Yes.
He's played at about four clubs at the moment.
Remember the Dragons.
Yeah, he's at the Dragons. Yeah. He's at the Dolphins this Warriors. Year.
I'm sure he was alone at the Warriors.
I'll see if I can find it in a minute, but I'm a bit...
North Sydney Bears. He was at North Sydney Bears. There you go.
He's played in our role for Roosters, Warriors, Dragons and Dolphins. There you go.
So I was very right. Which, where the Bears was mentioned, because he was there at Bears as well.
Okay. I'm a bit 50-50 on this signing. Like, we need forwards, right? Especially, we needed forwards before we started losing forwards. Now we've lost Pengai Jr. and Pele. We definitely need a lot of forwards. And I want to see front row forwards, right? That's the signings I want to see. Yeah, props.
He's one of them,
so it's good to see. However, it does worry me a little bit that he's been at four clubs, NRL clubs, and hasn't really kicked on and nailed down a spot as of yet. And he's at the Dolphins this year.
Yeah.
And like, yes, the Dolphins' strength this year was their forwards, a lot of representative forwards, and they kept signing more forwards during the year. Who did they sign from?
Josh Kerr.
He's
a
mid-season
sign. Huge sign.
Maybe he's just been unlucky, but I would have thought if there was ever a chance to really nail down a consistent spot in a team, new club would have been it. So hopefully we lead forward, so I hope he comes down and brains it, but a little bit sort of on the fence on that one.
It'll be interesting to see the thing we might not know about him is obviously I know he was at the Bears.
Yep.
Where Jake Press was at the Bears. Was very good New South Cup level. Has been stuff, and he did the Warriors loan, which was very last one with the COVID, where Warriors had players getting injured, and they had to like loan players to finish off the year because they were in a bubble.
That was probably where he played his best NRL football, probably.
But wondering if like the things we don't know about him is that he's spent a lot of time in Sydney, or at least New South Wales, with the Roosters, Dragons, little stint at the Warriors, which was actually Gosford and Queensland, and Dolphins. Maybe a bit of homesickness, or maybe coming back home, like to where he's more familiar with, where he's more comfortable. I don't know. Might be the world good for him. Maybe it's
a
moment for him to come.
We definitely need some forwards. So I hope to see a few more sightings. So that's only three names here. Gus said 8 to 9.
Yeah.
So let's watch out.
So 7's already announced, correct? So Salmon's announced.
Yeah.
Henderson
announced.
Taff is announced.
Yes.
So I was just trying to figure if we.
So I'm assuming, going off what Gus said, there's 8 or 9 on top of that, right? So. Some of them might be re-signings, though. So. Maybe a player coming off contract at the end of next year, re-signing, that type of thing.
Yeah, I heard Jacob Carraz could be one of them.
Yeah.
Maybe someone like a Blake Wilson or something like that as well.
Yeah.
The club.
We still haven't had a farewell yet that
but
I've seen.
It's interesting. Usually it's a farewell at the awards night.
Yeah.
Like where the players get to do it in front of their own family, family and
well, maybe
the
it's
squad
privately. Yeah.
Yeah, it hasn't been. They usually share that on social media or a good photo of the players on the stage or something. But what we've been robbed with this year is the players at the final game of the year. Is we always, I remember the final home game. It didn't matter if it was round 21. I know it's unlikely that would be, but the final home game would always have a departing video. Yes, some players we don't know.
Yeah.
Obviously, i.e. Josh Jackson and Aaron Schopp this year, who departed. Well, Jackson departed after the season, and Aaron Schopp started pre-season with the Bulldogs. It feels like something ridiculous, like 72 hours of pre-season before he left. But yeah, there's no departing video being posted, and we're still trying to find out players more than for shopping players around still.
Keep an eye out for that, won't we?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else, Scott? I've got a final topic to sign off with, but before we get into that, is there anything else you'd like to add in regards to the Bulldogs?
I suppose
we will do like an end of season podcast. How about we do it at the end of the finals? Might take a break, relax, watch the finals, enjoy the final series. And
well, it depends on these jersey flag boys go, eh?
And we've got jersey flag to follow as well, absolutely.
I was just going to say, it'd be interesting the next couple of weeks, and I suppose after grand final, like, I think I've said this before, players are announcing their signings, I feel like, later and later.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, Willie Tonga at the Bulldogs 2008, I think it was, signed the Cowboys. I felt like he'd announce that like round two. And so that news out for the season.
That happens sometimes, but
now it's just
you feel like heading into the off season, you would know like 28 of the 30 players that are going to be there next year.
Yeah, then the only ones who were the shock signings if a player got in trouble at their club, and not necessarily like a bad trouble, but just he didn't turn up to training on time. He's been or whatever, or didn't turn up to a function, has been released by the club, and the club's picked up a player because they only has 26 or 27 players locked in, or you go, here's your 25 players that we know. And then you go, wow, these two people playing New South Cup this year have been elevated up.
Yeah.
But it's getting later and later. I don't know why it's been later and later the last few years. It's
probably because they pushed back that mid-season window as well.
Yeah, it's a good point.
For COVID, and they've never put it back. All right, sign off this week's episode, Scotty. Which finals teams are we adopting? What team are we adopting? I'll go first.
Oh, mine's easy.
Oh, yep, go.
Warriors.
Yeah, it's up the Waz. Up the Waz.
Yeah.
How crazy has it been, the cultural impact the Warriors have had in New Zealand? I don't know if you've seen much of it, but the Rugby World Cup starts this week.
Yeah,
the All Blacks play the first game. And all the talk in New Zealand's been about the Warriors. That's incredible. There's TV interviews of their election coming up at the end of the year where serious reporters are asking random people on the street, who are you voting for at the election? And they're responding with, up the Waz, I'm voting for Andrew Webster, because if he can do what he's done in 1 year as a coach, what can he do in 4 years as a prime minister? These are serious, like, journalists not being able, like, laughing. And the TAB in New Zealand, the TAB NZ, they put up a tent called the Mystery Tattoo, and you could put a limb into a hole and get a Mystery Warriors tattoo.
Okay.
Which sounds crazy. And they had to turn people away. There's too many people wanting to get a Mystery Warriors tattoo.
There you go. I think, who else can you go for in the finals?
Yeah.
After you all that.
It's huge for rugby league in New Zealand, but even then.
I feel like there's no one to hate the Warriors either as well.
Disappointing that Sean Johnson's out of the game on Saturday night.
But you go, I start when I look at this type of stuff, is what they've done for NRL the last couple of years, spending COVID and stuff, sacrificing, a lot of them, those players were there sacrificing time with families and stuff. As an organisation, they've done a lot.
To turn around 12 months.
Oh,
12 months or so ago, they were nomads, they didn't have a home. Now they're back at home and they're top four.
And 20,000 just is a shit crowd at the moment.
It's the last like six games are sold out.
Yeah.
And they should be playing about Mount Eden Park, I reckon. When they get their home game, I know people want to play at Mount Smart, but 50,000 people at Eden Park.
Well, if they're turning people away from mystery tattoos,
that's going to send that's going to have a huge impact in New Zealand sport.
Yeah, that's.
And come on, Warriors playing at finals anywhere in New Zealand? That's a home game.
Yeah, it's not like there's not other New Zealand team or another Auckland team.
Yeah.
Compete with that. So, but there's so much to like about the Warriors as a club. And I think
for people that don't know, Eden Park is actually in the centre of Auckland.
Yeah.
Really easy to get to. Mount Smart Stadium is very far south Auckland.
Yeah.
So it would be for fans a lot more convenient to get to as well. So it's not just it's bigger. Yeah.
When I look at the bandwagon, the last few years we've had to jump on a bandwagon because our team got there.
Last 10.
It's getting close to that.
Something like that. Yeah,
it's getting very close to that.
Feels like that.
The Tigers are giving us tips. This is what the Tigers told me. He said, look at the teams and try to find the least you hate about a team, but there's nothing to hate about the Warriors, I don't think. I don't think anyone can hate anyone that think about the Warriors. They're capturing New Zealand by storm. I think every time they make the final, everyone usually goes for them if your team's out.
Yeah.
You can't go for Penrith. They've won too many in a row. Get out of here.
So let's go down the list. Get Penrith.
Yeah, get out of here.
They've already won two in a row. I think the neutral fans have had enough of that. We want to see something else. Brisbane. Well, they're Brisbane.
Reece Walsh is there. Get out.
We always hate the Broncos, especially when they're doing well, right?
Yeah.
So we don't want the Broncos winning the premiership. Third place was... Melbourne Storm. I wouldn't mind that too much, but if it's between Melbourne and Warriors, I want the Warriors.
Yeah,
I
wouldn't mind Melbourne, especially if the player turnover they've had,
Pappenhausen gets a grand final ring this year.
Yeah,
6 weeks worth of work.
That'd be a good story.
Bottom eight, if anyone can do it, Newcastle.
Who's fourth? We've mentioned that's Warriors. Yeah, sorry. I'm so caught up with the Warriors the first at the moment.
Yeah.
Newcastle. I get excited when Newcastle was there, a team who's playing really good footy.
And they've won, 8 or 9 in a row. They got the momentum at the home final this week. You can really see it bubble.
Yeah, and just not. You start to not like certain players and stuff. And
there's only one player for me that I would not like to see win.
Ponga?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you look at Ponga and.
I've been off Ponga since the strawberry milkshake days.
I've been off him probably since then, maybe even a bit earlier. But I've actually just watched little things that he does in some, looks like he doesn't care as much at some points. Great player, though, when he wants to be. So
he's in some form at the moment, though. You can't deny that. He's absolutely killing. He's the best fullback in the game right now.
Yeah, it's like Reece Walsh thing as well.
Yeah.
Great player.
Yeah.
Probably.
Big cocky.
Yeah. Shit bloke.
Sixth position. That would be the Sharks versus Roosters games, 6 and 7.
So Sharkies.
Stuff the Sharks. They're playing at a friggin' park football ground.
They're playing at a park football ground.
There's players that don't really enjoy.
Nothing. Sharks don't have the 2016 grand final.
Mm.
They're probably one of my second team. But they've had one recently. So
we're Bulldogs fans. We can't be cheering on the Roosters.
Yeah, so you can't cheer on the Roosters at all.
And then 8th place. But
in saying that, it's a pretty good story how the Roosters got there. They're at a 12% stat.
They have won 5 in a row as well to make it. Yeah.
They need things to go their way. So if they got into the grand final, I know it's the Roosters, run. Because I was reading someone's like, someone said under 15% chance the Roosters are going to make finals. What the hell's going on?
Well, I want them to win this week.
And
then we'll go from there. And the 8th place is Canberra. I don't think anyone's seriously considering Canberra being a threat
in
this final series.
They've struggled to put the Tigers away twice this year.
Yeah.
They struggled to put us away. They struggled to put the Tigers away. Two controversial calls in two separate games. One in the game.
Well, I didn't.
But also the attitude of Ricky Stewart sometimes rubs me the wrong way. Raiders a few years ago on the bandwagon on the grand final. Raiders this year.
Nah, yeah, absolutely. I didn't realise as well. It would be good Jack White if he was to win a premiership for Canberra on his way out. Work well for him. I didn't mean for this question to give us so much content. I think it's almost half the episode now. But so we're both up the Waz.
Yeah.
All right, well, up the Bulldogs.
Bulldogs.
Up the Dogs for the Jersey flag on Saturday at Leichhardt Oval. Win that straight into a grand final, and that's what we want to see. So we'll be following that one closely. Apart from that, enjoy the finals footy. Try not to cry too much that we're not there again. And
We're in Bali.
I wouldn't go to Bali. Anyway. Until next week, I suppose, when we talk about the Jersey flag boys. Maybe we'll add a little bit of NRL talk, finals talk, into the weekly podcast for as long as the Jersey flag goes, and then we'll do an end of season podcast after the finals, season review type deal. Bulldogs might be back in training by then.
Yeah. But if there's any ideas in the off season, we've done a couple of good.
We'll look at doing some special episodes and stuff like that.
And stuff like that. Sure, we'll do our best 17 once we find out who's in our 30 come through properly and who's departing properly. So I'm sure that'll be at early next year or very late this year podcast.
Yeah,
there's certain.
We'll do a few things, but enjoy the finals, guys.